When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Part one of John McGinn on The Big Interview. We explained a lot about his background, his attitudes, what he's been through. He allowed us to laugh often too, and he proved himself to be a really good storyteller. One of the central tenets of being on The Big Interview, which, by the way, is 6 years old. Now we go into some depth about life at Villa. John's a happy camper, and indeed, I think he's adored by the club and by fans alike. Will they manage to keep hold of him? I suspect so. But the way he's playing, it would be no surprise if there were suitors coming after him from even higher up the league than he is right now. Getting to the Premier League, well, that was a story too. John McGinn tells us brilliantly about the intense, warlike semi-finals, West Brom against Villa. Whoa, it's a proper derby. And then that magnificent game at Wembley when John plays a crucial part in Villa winning what's known to be the richest game in world football and taking Villa back to the Premier League where they belong. It was a remarkable match against a very good Frank Lampard derby side, and John tells it well. Another place where John McGinn excels is talking about Jack Grealish. They're buddies, but I don't ask John to blow the Englishman's trumpet, rather to analyse what he is as a footballer. Because, again, when you watch Grealish on the ball now, the natural talent, which was always attractive, is still there. But things have changed. I wanted to know what things have changed and why. And John's a good witness. Anyway, what happens is, before we talk about Scotland and Serbia and penalties and whose jersey he's after when the European Championships come around this summer, we start with John's debut for Aston Villa against Wigan, when this young man from Scotland immediately won the hearts and minds of the Villa fans with an assist and a high-energy performance in a dramatic 3-2 win. The assist was from a free kick, and I asked him, I demanded to know, how on earth he claimed dead ball duties in only his first game for the club. This interview has been immense fun to record. John McGinn has been a terrific guest. But we owe a vote of thanks to Thomas Jordan at Aston Villa, who worked hard on our behalf to get us this interview and to do his club proud. Thanks, TJ. And thanks above all to John McGinn. a smashing guest on The Big Interview. But I have to ask you there, because this is the most baffling thing of the whole picture. We've had Ryan Fraser having the same experience, going down to Bournemouth for a little look. He didn't come back for 6 months. Loved it so much. Phoned his mum and dad, said, send the luggage down, I'm staying. So that love at first sight in football, one, is understandable. Two, it's great to hear that it's not all big business and influences. That a young man with talent can go, this is me. But how against Wigan do you get the free kick? Because Grealish wins the free kick. I think it's your first or second game, maybe your first game. And first game, it's, I don't know, 5-6 minutes in. And whatever they've seen in training, John, in fairness, when Grealish wins the free kick, everybody walks away and just says, it's Jones' ball. And you nick it in for the header, and it's the perfect beginning. How did you get that free kick?
I don't know. I trained on the Thursday. Oh, so nervous. Honestly, I was bricking it. And I'm not, you speak to anyone that's played me, I'm rubbish in training. So I done a box, and Micah Richards was talking about it recently, how he watched me in my first Rondo box at Villa.
Just for anyone who doesn't know it, because Rondos have become popular, a box is just a fast passing exercise with one in the middle. The box is big enough for 6, 7, 8 people, and it's chase ball for the one or two in the middle, right? Yeah.
But you need to be on the ball on the outside to make sure you don't go in the middle. But I spent my whole first session in the middle. Now, there's guys that have played at a brilliant level. Alan Hutton was there, Glenn Whelan, Mila Jedinak, Micah Richards, Jack was in there. Now, that was a tough box in the first morning. So they're thinking, who's this guy? What have we done? And I'm thinking, I'm in the Belfry, obviously the hotel's around the corner, so I'm thinking, what have I done? I'm at my depth here. But then we turned up at Villa Park, and Steve Clemens, Steve Bruce's assistant, goes, just do what you normally do. So I thought I was on the bench because I'd only signed on a Wednesday or Thursday. But he named the team quite late, quite old-fashioned in that sense, and I was starting. So it was just a case of sink or swim, and thankfully that day I was swimming. So no, but I chased a ball. I always talk about it and I'll never forget it. And, I chased a ball. Now, what I like to do, probably should start doing more of again. I chased a lost cause ball down the corner, and I thought, nah, stuff, I'll go for it. And I blocked it, and it went out for a throw-in, and the place kind of lifted a wee bit. And I thought, yeah, this is the place for me. And after that, I started to grow in confidence and never look back.
It's a proper way to tell a story, and, you know, we can't change the lack of fans, but the connection between you and fans, I think wherever you go, is going to be perpetual, because, again, that attitude, the chasing down, and everybody roars because we love a battle in the UK. We're just warriors, all of us. But when you get that mix of competitiveness and technique and vision and ability, it's really powerful. Fans adore it. We've got really good sponsorship behind us, Bet365. Now, they've sent a number of questions, and this one is good. Which Scotland teammate would you most like to sign for Aston Villa?
That could be a number of people, by the way. Most like to sign. I hope nobody at Villa is going to be offended. If we go Tierney Robertson, it means I have to choose. I'll go back to McTominay. I'm not choosing between Tierney and Robertson, because that would be a debate. The big Scotty, the nice thing about the big man is, not only is he's a star, worldwide star for Man U, brilliant guy, extremely humble. And the nice thing, even though Scotland have had a history in the past of playing players with an English accent, with Scottish grandparents who essentially come, if they don't get a game, end up probably chucking it. Whereas Big Scotty sees himself as Scottish. There wasn't any doubt. And for that, was brilliant to see, because he came into the squad and he didn't really play right away. But he didn't complain, not one bit. He wasn't like, oh, I'm McTominay, I play for Man U. He was proud to be in the setup. He was proud to be part of it. And now we're seeing the rewards of not only how versatile he is, but incredible athlete and incredible player. So if we could have him in at Villa beside me, that would be nice.
He's a real winner player. I spoke to him recently, and it was a long interview and fun. And he's not shy. He's 100 miles an hour, isn't he? Which I appreciate and I like. But he said he had to stop the interview in the end because he'd done his treatment. He was going out to play football in the garden with his dad. He said,
because I remember all the years playing. And he said, yesterday I was playing in the garden with my dad. I love that. I was at Seville the night that Seville drew 0-0 with Manchester United before going and knocking United out at Old Trafford a couple of seasons ago when Mourinho was in charge of the Europa League. Scott was flawless that night in Seville. I mean, absolutely, completely flawless in positional sense, never giving the ball away, winning it a lot. Really an inspirational footballer. I think it's a good choice. It's a nice answer. I'm not going to ask you to cast forward to the European Championships, delighted though I am that you've put our country there. But all being well, you're going to be playing at Wembley against England. And you've had a Wembley experience. It's the new Wembley. It's not the old one that we all used to go down and nick the turf and sit on the crossbar and all that kind of stuff. I think your granddad was up there on the crossbar. Like, that's how I remember it anyway. He came out of the stand and on the pitch. I found that playoff thing, inspirational might be the wrong word, but I was fascinated by how fate chucks you things. Because Villa had to go up, it was vital, it was part of the reason you were there. And you've to beat West Brom, which maybe people around the world outside the Midlands don't understand. The absolute, it's a Black Country Old Firm thing, and the drama is flipping intense. So I want to do three things. One, pick a memory from the two West Brom games that just leaps out at you. Two, why no penalty in the shootout? I didn't quite understand that, although it goes well. And then we'll come to the Wembley question in a minute.
No, I'm glad you asked that. I train the manager for that all the time. So I'll start with the penalty one. Now, no matter what penalty shootout I've been in, you always have to be brave enough to hit one. Now I'm always confident in my ability. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. But I put my hand up. So the goalie coach was taking the names. So got Jack, Mealy Edenack, penalty specialist, Connor, penalty specialist, Tammy, good at penalties. Then it's me and Albert Adoma. We'd both put our hands up. But I don't know if it was the manager or Neil Cutler's like that. He ended up picking Albert. So no one ever played. The boys loved winding me up. You bottled it for a penalty. But I didn't. I just didn't get chosen. I put my hand up and I was number six. So I'm glad Tammy scored in the end.
And if we piece it together, there was one player who didn't convert his kick for the Villa, and that was Albert, right?
I have reminded Albert and Cuts and the gaffer about that, but just glad in the end. And the memory for that was that, what's the song they play?
The Equaliser.
It was a proper racket. They wanted it badly. It wasn't that, though. It was the whole game. Now, me and Jack talk about it all the time because Jack loves football as well, and they hate him. So every time he touched it, they were booing him. But me and him, before the game, were both like, doo, doo, doo. We were ready for it to come on. But it was like every throw-in, you would just hear the tannoy. Doo, doo, doo. Even in extra time, they were playing it, and I'm like, I'm getting drained on this here. I don't know if I've got much energy listening to this. But it was a brilliant atmosphere. Even the one at Villa, we didn't play well, but Connor came up with a moment of magic. But my memory of that double header was the Liquidator song, and probably as loud as the Hawthorns has been. But then it set us up. What we thought was a game with Leeds. That's what we thought. One of the most famous games in Championship playoff history, Leeds Derby. We watched it as a team. I'm not going to tell you how much I actually remember of it because we were sort of semi-celebrating. One of the Villa media team here is laughing because he was actually with us. So you win the Championship playoff semi-final second leg. You've then got a big gap to the final. So a brilliant team spirit we had. We ended up in the pub in the middle of Birmingham. So we're in there, it's a sunny day, we're sitting out in the beer garden and we're thinking, right, we've got Leeds to play. But we weren't taking them out. We hadn't thought we would win or anything. We were just celebrating the fact that we were 14th or 13th, 14th in the table by December. We've now made it to Wembley. It's a celebration in itself. But that's not to say we expected to win.
You'd had a couple of nice, just in that run in where you're outside the playoffs, you did a couple of goals against Forest. You said thanks to Steve Bruce for signing you. We're popping one against Sheffield Wednesday as well. So you'd played your part in that surge up that takes you into the playoffs to play the Baggies. And now you're with your Capri son out in the beer garden. No Mad Dog whatsoever. But you're allowed a little relax to get, just to wash that season off your shoulders and go, okay, the final next Monday. That this, it makes sense to me.
You play a lot of games in a championship, so it's a wee bit of, I don't think teams do it enough. I think it's lost as to how much you can actually bond in a pub. It's mad. Yeah, it doesn't mean you need to, drink. I know the game's evolving and changing. It doesn't mean you need to drink. But just being together in a different environment, it helped us a lot. And on that run moving on, it was a bit special because no matter who you're playing against, 10 wins in a row, and a league as tough as a championship was pretty special. And then we ended up Leeds Derby, and we ended up Derby winning. Now, both the games that season, we had played pretty well against Derby, but they were in a good bit of form as well. Stop crying. They were singing all that, so they were confident. And then they had Mason Mount, Harry Wilson, good players. So it was quite intriguing, but thankfully we played really well in the final and got over the line.
What is it, for a Scot though, what's it like when you know, never mind maybe going up in the hundreds of millions and it's Derby, but just the name Wembley, the, in the quiet moments before you're thinking about the actual match and knocking Huddleston off the ball and dummy it so that the first goal can get scored. Wembley, John, what's going through your mind in the images? What does it mean to you as you're thinking, this is where we're going?
Well, actually, my first experience at Wembley was England-Scotland, the 3-0 game where I was in the squad, but I didn't get stripped. But I remember training there the night before. We stayed at the Hilton Wembley. So you can see the arch through your room. You can see the stadium. You're thinking, this is about me. I'm loving this. So then we trained the night before at the stadium. Brilliant. Loved it. Disappointed not to make the squad, but I was a young player in the group, so I was realistic and realised that it was probably going to be me anyway. But it gave me a wee bit of a taste for the kind of stadium, the atmosphere, but it didn't really give me a taste of what the Villa fans would turn up in. So even though we were staying at the Hilton Wembley, the same hotel, we had this route, and somehow all the Villa fans knew exactly the route we were taking. I think there's a few videos of it online, but that was just nuts. And we had music playing on the bus. And I think even from then, it was a roasting hot sunny day. I had 56 family members that were probably half cut by this time. But just the whole day. And it was good because the experience of the Hibs finals and the St Mirren final at the start of my career, the experience of that taught me, right, this is another final. It's a game first and foremost. You need to win or you'll enjoy it. So you blank all that out as best you can. You try and focus on the game, and thankfully those matches previously stood me in good stead and managed to put in a decent performance that day to get us over the line.
Before the rest of this big interview, I'd like to tell you that our entire archive of audio and video content is now on our new YouTube channel. We've begun filming all of our interviews, and there are already loads of clips with guests, including Rio Ferdinand, Connor Cody, Brendan Rodgers and Jamie Carragher, plus full interviews for you to watch and to share. Please do share with friends. Go to YouTube and search Graham Hunter, or click on the link in the show notes to this episode and become a subscriber. I honestly think you'll enjoy it. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So the appetite for going back to Wembley in different colours and maybe not with hordes of the Tartan Army there, we don't know yet, must be big. There's another couple of questions. I mean, people have been really good about sending stuff in, and I don't know exactly our time, but we're winding to a close to let you make sure that you make training. Robert Ryan had written in and asked about how's it feel now to be currently the most famous person from Clydebank. He's put Kevin Bridges into second place. Robert's a Clydebank man himself. Somebody wrote in and asked about the St Mirren U system, which is Peter Gordon. But I think I want to say to you, when you're proud representing your country, and you haven't had to suffer, you haven't really known, either as a fan or a player, what it's like to be at a tournament. I grew up, and it was just tournament, tournament, tournament. And OK, we always bumped our head in the ceiling and went out by a goal or a mad red card or a goal difference or getting Willie Johnson sent home from Argentina. Whatever it was that we did, we found a way. I don't want to ask you to cast forward too much to the tournament because that's all predicting, but there are two things I want to know. One, of the group games and the players who should be there, Bet365 have asked, who would you most like to swap your strip with? So it's England, Czech Republic, I think, and Croatia, right?
I'll go two names. The first one, Modric from Croatia. I know that's a safe one. The second one's a bit, people win. I would go Jack if we happen to get the chance to play against each other in that game. It would be incredible because we're so close on and off the park. It would be a strange moment, but obviously a special one. But I'll go Modric just because he's someone I've admired for years. Unbelievable player. I think he's one of the record cap holders for Croatia, but still playing at a high level and someone you can continue to learn from. Now, I hope he has a stinker, but wouldn't mind his shot after it.
You know, honestly, I find that reassuring because I've listened to a lot that you've said over the years and read a lot about you. And Martin and I, in preparing it, we both said it'll be Modric. We both knew, you know. I want to take the baton from you a little bit and nick what you said about Jack Grealish. I want to speak honestly and passionately because I feel that having grown up watching players that you won't remember, but Tony Curry, who was a guest on this, Duncan McKenzie, Alan Hudson, Frank Worthington, some of who aren't with us anymore. And in England, they constantly undervalued them. There was always a reason why maybe they're not quite as good as they, blah, 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 blah. And they were always the ones who gave you magic, that special bit of, not just fantasy, but they could do things that other players couldn't. And Jack seems to me, although he's quite in vogue at the moment because there's so much data that people can actually support the analysis that he's exceptional, but I think he's still broadly undervalued. There's still a debate about does he or doesn't he fit in the England team, etc. I don't want you necessarily to talk England up because let's hope they have stinkers too. But I think you're playing, apart from him being a friend, I think you're playing with a footballer who's evolved massively over the last 18 months in terms of pitch position, maturity. He's an awful lot stronger, so he gains the right to use the brilliant ability he's got. But am I right in saying that he's probably still a little bit underappreciated for exactly how good a footballer he is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've been lucky enough to see him grow as a player. I think in the Championship, he was destroying teams, but he was winning free kicks in wide areas. He wasn't scoring or setting up as much as what he would like. Now, he's football obsessive, so he goes and he studies, he wants the goals, he wants the assists. And even then, I don't know whether it was his work that he does in the gym or something, but he just seemed to keep getting stronger and quicker. And then this season, I don't know what it is. 100% knew he was capable, but with his performances this season and most importantly, the game against Belgium, I think it made a few people who were desperate for him to be rubbish. Let's make that clear. Some people didn't like the way he wore his socks. Some people didn't like the way he had his hair, but the outside perception of Jack changed after that game, and they got beat 2-0, let's remember that, but he had such an impact on that game. I think it just made probably the whole football world sit up and take notice of how good he actually is. Now, I watch games in La Liga, and you'll probably agree, Graham, he could fit in there. The way he carries the ball, how good he is.
I go further, John. La Liga has a little bit of talent drain and brain drain because other state-owned clubs are able now to come and not just pinch the stars, but are pinching very good kids of 22, 23. In my opinion, Jack could come over and he would enhance La Liga. He wouldn't just fit in. He'd become a star player and the appreciation would just go like that for him. And I don't understand the concept people want him to fail or the hair, the socks, whatever, it doesn't really matter.
for any Villa fan watching, I'm not trying to tout me Real Madrid or Barcelona.
In terms of,
I think after that, the whole perception of that Jack kind of changed after that game. He seemed to get more and more support. More and more people started to realise what he was capable of, and used to wind me up, honestly. And I used to say to him as well, he used to wind me up when he never got in the squad, and people used to say, but he's no quick. When I see him every day, he's quick. Try and get the ball off him then. Do you know what I mean? He can take it down the line, he can bust past you, he can embarrass you, and I think everyone's starting to see that now.
But is it fair to say that, because I've seen a lot of players of that type over the years, and some of them with those gifts do showboat, definitely showboat. Ronaldinho did it deliberately to try and bring the crowd alight so that the game started well. Cristiano Ronaldo had to have that slightly trained out of him in the first part so that he became more effective. I don't think that I've seen a lot of Jack either deliberately humiliating a player just for the fun or showboating. All the stuff he does, 99% of the stuff he does, is to get in a better position, to put a teammate in a better position, to get in a position for a shot. I think he uses the gifts well.
He's a really good teammate, unselfish. If someone's in a better position to score, he's passing it, no matter who it is. But I think before they used to, maybe his way of showboating was to skin someone, then skin him again and win the free kick. Now, he's just completely got away from that. I don't know whether he was aware of that himself. But now, instead of running past somebody and maybe try to beat them, he's running towards a goal. Like, and he's frightening teams. So then he's adding goals and assists, and when you add that, your value soars and you become more noticeable. And I think it's been disappointing for us that he's been injured for the last wee while, but we're looking forward to having him back soon.
So this is a bit where we wind down, but I can't stop without asking you properly about Scotland. Again, like I asked you about the West Brom experience, if I can take you to Serbia and the anticipation, the test, the country. If you watch a little bit of La Liga, maybe this is too detailed, but Dimitrovic, the goalkeeper from Eibar, was on the bench, an extraordinary goalkeeper. When it came to penalties, I was so glad that he wasn't the one that you were facing. If you can cherry pick impressions, tension, memories from that, what are they?
The day leading up to it, everyone wanted it badly, really, really badly, and you could sense it. Everyone had their own sort of way of dealing with it. So I was just watching videos on YouTube, and I can't remember in particular what ones. But then you start kind of getting a wee bit emotional, thinking of, what if we actually win here? What's going to happen? So I'm getting a wee bit, so everyone's pumped up in their own certain way. You turn up to Red Star Belgrade Stadium, renowned for, I remember watching Champions League games there for years, renowned for atmosphere, and you can hear a pin drop. So you're checking the pitch. Pitch wasn't in brilliant nick. Rain was pouring down. And you can imagine, as much as the Tartan Army are noisy, you can imagine if they were in the ground, you probably wouldn't have heard them, because that was an intimidating stadium, even with no fans in it. Now, that was the only disappointing thing, I think, I know some people who travel with Scotland home and away and have done for the 23 years. Some of my dad's pals. The gutting thing is they weren't there. That was the gutting thing. But during the game, we had to blank that. We can't affect that. We can't change it. So Steve Clark was brilliant, or the gaffer. So if he's watching, I didn't call him Steve Clark. So he done a meeting, and do you know what? It was so simplistic, but it was powerful. I can't remember word for word, but it was don't play with the fear of failure, play with the anticipation of success. And that was all he said before we left for the stadium. Now, he's brilliant at that because he's quite powerful in his words. So we played brilliant, honestly, as a team. Probably one of the best Scotland away performances in a long time, because Serbia are no mugs, not one bit. Katie absolutely destroyed Tadic, and I mean, had him in his back pocket. McTominay, big Declan Gallagher, massive. Ryan Jack and Carl McGregor, and gutted for Ryan Jack as well, even though he plays for the other side of Glasgow.
Aye, look where he left to go and do it. Come on.
Good guy. Maybe not as popular as Aberdeen, but good guy. And gutted for him because he was brilliant in the game. So I'm in Cal. And then me and Christy were kind of up a bit off London. And do you know what? We had so much of the ball. We had some good chances. I wasted one in the first half. But then Christy scores. And it gets to 83 minutes. And the gaffer takes us off. So we're hanging right. We're trying to get the 1-0 here. And I couldn't see Serbia scoring. Honestly, I couldn't see it. But you have that feeling when the goal goes in, go, here we go again. So you're up in this stand. Because of coronavirus, you're up right up in the stand. And you just feel a mile away. You think, I can't help you. Sit my hands. And then you think, you're out. That genuinely, I thought, right, we're done for. But the boys that were on dug in. And then when it gets to penalties, you know it's a lottery, but you fancy Marshy. You fancy him. And just that feeling, I remember standing next to Frank. We're all in the line. And Frank was shaking. Frank is the team manager of Scotland. I think he has been for 15 to 20 years. And brilliant guy, amazing guy. He's shaking. He's going, please, Marshy, please. And I started to get nervous. But then we scored and just an incredible feeling. Probably one of the best feelings I've had as a footballer. Just seeing everyone back home. Now, I always touch on it down here when people ask. Probably the most divided country in terms of club football. Everyone's got their own sort of agendas. Some teams hate other teams. Aberdeen hate Rangers. Hibs hate Rangers. Rangers hate Celtic. Celtic hate X, Y, Z.
Hold on. Thinking about the Scottish Cup, we're not too keen on Dundee United either. So just so that I can get that on record.
Dundee United, Dundee Pals, Dundee anyone. Everyone hates each other, right? Then you come in, just complete elation. Then you speak to your family. You realise how much it means. Then you speak to your mates who are on lockdown, by the way, right? So they're on each other's house, in their own house, steaming. Some people are like emotional. And then you look at videos for Edinburgh, Princes Street, Queen Street, look at Glasgow. Everyone is just, honestly, the reaction to that was what made me proud. That's what started getting me a wee bit emotional when you started to realise the impact that this could have. And then the build-up's been surreal and amazing. The gutting thing for me is I've just pictured a full Hampden. I was at the Commonwealth Games. I know it's completely different. It's a completely different sport, but it was when you get a Scottish winner that day. I was at the Athletics, and I just pictured that. I think the whole world's watching. It's amazing if we can get 12,500 in. That's surreal, but I just kind of keep. I kind of get it in my head, 50,000, no being there. I just kind of get it in my head, and that's the gutting thing.
What you've proven as we finish to let you go to training is that besides the terrific character you've got and the terrific ability to compete and win and terrific technical ability, you've got, you've mentioned it a couple of times, you can shut things out, you think them through, you block them out, and you do your job well, which I think is an enormously admirable characteristic. This has been a pure pleasure. You probably don't feel the same, but I could have done another 3 or 4 hours of this. So thank you for stopping. Thanks to that gaffer. Also, thanks for mentioning Jack Grealish's dad, Steve Clark, because he deserves a lot of credit. And the way to finish here is to say bollocks to Jimmy from Bargeddy.
Cheers, Graham.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beard Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Here endeth the lesson.